back to Buckfast with a, he had a crown board on, and the feed hole at the top, rectangle, had a wooden plug in it, and the board was varnished. The only trouble with the varnished board is condensation when the bees start breeding in spring. Mm-hmm. You get water coming in. But it wasn't too detrimental.
So they didn't do anything about it? No.
I mean, the stakes, I think, I don't know what their roofs are like. Now, Adams was a shallow roof and very light because he was going through the bees in summertime pretty regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And very heavy roofs. Everything was done for lightness.
You know, in America they seem to have hard floors, not the mesh, but they also seem to have an upper entrance.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to think that helps. I guess they must know what works for them.
Exactly. I mean, in Canada they used to winter in cellars, or pack them in groups and stack, you know, for the winter months. Adam did that with his half pretty, he had 25 half pretty standard nuclei, and he wintered them at Ashburton Avery in wintering boxes with one queen and one entrance. Then in spring, when the queens were getting ready for distributing the queen cells, we'd go to Ashburton Avery, take this roof of these boxes off, they'd hold four hives in a box,
mm-hmm.
packed with shavings and bags full of shavings. Put the hives katie-cornered over each corner, and then used to find the queens in each one, and then split them up into four nukes. Adam would equalise a comb of brood, a comb of food, a comb of bees, you know. And the queens were put in cages to be used for re-queening or sent to his friends or something like that. And then you put them in the van, and they breathe through a hole at the bottom of each nuke, covered with a mesh.
Mm-hmm.
The top was sealed on, and you put them on strips of wood in the van. And we could get 25 in a load, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Take them up to Dartmoor, to about 12 miles, 13 miles away. Put them on the stands, open the catches, a little entrance with a turnbuckle catch. The bees came out and recognised a new home, because they'd been moved, you see. And probably a day later, you'd go around and put a queen cell in each one.
They had it worked out, didn't they?
Right down to a fine art.
Did you, after you left there, did you, I mean, what did you do next?
I left there at almost Christmas time. But I kept paying my wages. And, they just started a pension scheme, and I think they were paying me back what I put in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd heard that there were the bee inspector, Ivy Jakes, her name was, she was a formidable character, worked for the ministry, inspecting bees for American and fowl brood and European. She was retiring. And another man took the job on, a retired miner. And he thought it was just going round on nice sunny days looking at bees, but you know, it wasn't so, and he used to get lost a lot, and I think he wore several cars out and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he was retiring, and the job came up, and it was advertised in the Notts Beekeepers, and I went for an interview and got the job. And in those days they used to have some part time, it was only 6 month employment, April to the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
But in the ministry they could put you on another job. They used to work on subsidies, hill cow, hill sheep.
Okay.
And then when 1st of April was coming around, I'd be back on bees officer's job again, see. And I did work one winter on the setting up of Rufford Country Farm. I could have changed jobs then. I could have gone and worked with the county council as a ranger on the country farm. But I liked the ministry work better. And I kept on as a part-time employee for quite a number of years, till 92, when the budget was taken away from the Min of Ag. I went in one day and all my stuff was in a pile on the floor. because you know, it changed over to Central Science, right. And we used to get a lot more equipment and everything else, and it was a bit more organised. And I applied. They started having regional bee inspectors, and I applied for a job and managed to get one.
So, I guess it was good job security and so forth. Working, being a civil servant.
Yeah. That's right. It was all Official Secrets Act and things like that, but it was good. I liked the procedure, and of course it gave you a chance of seeing loads and loads of beekeepers of all descriptions, commercial boys, hobbyists with one hive, and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So you were a bee inspector for a long time then.
Long time. Yeah.
And then so you kind of know everyone, I imagine. You know everyone in the world of bees.
Well, quite a lot, yeah. At Buckfast, we used to get people come from abroad, from the States, especially from Germany. They used to come at Queen Mary in time and help out. But also one American at the home apiary with his cigar on, you know, and he slapped me on the back. He says, "This guy's the best, you know." And for the Americans to say that, it was something, wasn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah.
But I think he was a man well before his time, and a very down-to-earth practical man. He was awarded the Doctorate of Science at Uppsala afterwards because he was doing virgin work, you know, that nobody had done before.
On the way that he used to raise queens, did he used to sell what they called finishers were as queen? No, the cell starter.
Yep.
Did he have a starter that was queenless?
No.
He didn't.
I think the Americans have starter colonies and then finishing ones, and they transfer the cell. And he did. When the queen was coming up, Maytime soup was on. Right, coming up to. He found out that the first 10 days in June, over records, was a settled period on Dartmoor.
Okay.
And the weather was right. And he worked around that for the mating of the bees. It says 1 year in every so many, it will backfire on you. And it did 1 year whilst I was there. I'll come on to that. But on the right-hand side of the home apiary, he used to devote 10 to a dozen hives for raising cellars. So we would go out to the out apiaries, the boxes, floorboard brew box, and he'd take, from the strongest colonies, he'd take combs of seal brood.
Mm-hmm.
That was due to hatch, so he'd put 12 combs in there. All sorts of hives, bit of puff of smoke, and they amalgamate. People say, "Don't they fight?" No. They used to amalgamate, you know. And we'd come back to the home apiary, and so we'd double brood. Maybe six of those one day.
Double Baden brood. Yeah.
Double brood.
That's a lot of brood.
That's a lot of brood. And then what would happen, you see, when all that brood had hatched in the top box, and if you select the combs that they're going to be hatched in so many days, at this powerful colony of bees, on the morning of the graft, in those days, Brother Pascal used to do the grafting. And Adam and I would lift the hive off the sand, put a floorboard there, put the top brood box onto the floorboard,
mm-hmm.
with no means of those bees hatching queen cells because the brood had hatched.
Yeah.
And then he used to go through the colony, find the queen, put her on one side, take combs of bees and shake them in front of the original hive. And so you've got a huge, powerful colony. Close the original colony up, put the queen back in, put a screen on, and take them up to one of the out apiaries, well away from the Buckfast, usually Dean Prior. And then he'd leave a gap in the middle and put a feeder on without any syrup in it. And he was brilliant at getting about six breeder queens to lay on the same day. So he knew third day, 12 hours, there'd be this selection of larvae. And he had a special frame made and we used to get raw jelly. There was always a colony wanting to push cells up, you know, so you get fresh raw jelly, dilute it with pure distilled water. Queen in the house, the temperature was brought up to the inside of a beehive with a kettle open with steam coming off to get the humidity.
Okay.
Good light at the window, enamel table, warming cabinet. And Brother Pascal would put a drop of this raw jelly in each wax cell that were made during the spring or winter time, these artificial cells.
Mm-hmm.
They were put in the warming cabinet to bring the temperature up of the cell to what would be in a natural hive.
Okay.
You put the spot of raw jelly, and then he'd take the comb out of the breeder colony. If the queen was on it, pick her off and put her in the colony. Brush the bees off, not shake them, brush them. Hold it up to the light and look for a section between the wires where the brood was about all 12 hours old. And you cut it out with a knife, put the comb back in the hive.
Okay.
And get a hot knife in the kettle and cut the comb down to within an eighth of an inch of the midrib.
Yeah.
So he'd basically got a bit of foundation in his hand, all the light, you could see the larva.
Yeah, that's good. I think even I might be able to manage that.
Yeah. You can see them. You can see them. You're not looking down in a piece of old comb, and you're not looking down in new comb to the depth of the cell. You can see them there. And then, you know, the little tiny horse you like, pick it up with the back and refloat it. And it would just... And when he'd done a bar, he'd cover it over with a damp cloth, put it on the table, and he'd do three bars. So that's 20 each, 60 cells.
Okay.
And then they'd be put in the frame. The frame would go in a box with a bit of blanket over it. Brother Adam would be waiting, like a man waiting for the bartender job, and take them out and pop them into the cell colony. And he'd finger space that frame so there was plenty of space for the bees to cluster around these. And of course, they were there and they got the makings of 20 queens, you see. But he worked on a percentage. I think it was about 80% or something like that. If he could get it, some years he'd get nearly 100.
Mm-hmm.
Other years he'd only get less. And then the grafting would be done. We'd start about 10 in the morning. By lunchtime, it was all done. Finished. And one day, yeah, Brother Pascal, we did a graft at Ashburton Acre by a board on the steering wheel, and Brother Pascal said, "Here, you have it." And it was accepted, okay. And one day at the Acre, I think Brother Adam and Brother Pascal had a bit of an argument, and Pascal came out wiping his hands on his apron, and he just looked at me and he said, "You'll have to do it." And that's how I got turned into grafting that morning, was 600 cells. And I just did what you were taught. And it was a fantastic, fantastic acceptance.
Mm.
And Adam smiled from ear to ear. "Would you like some queens, Mr. Camp?" You know, when the sours, put them in.
Yeah.
And let's take them over in cotton wool down my shirt, cycle home. I've made the new truck ready and put the queens in. Got the mature cells.
Great.